This recording, Virginia 12, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an older zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at the superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer to her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of pottage, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. When she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, Itchy Goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison Kent, calling coma, which Sarah thought was odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not fully. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and gave her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost would put a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive. Let me tell you about going into service. I had joined the Army Air Corps to be a pilot or a navigator or a co-pilot, and they called it the cadets. When I joined, it was a special program, and I was in the middle of a college year, and they said, "We'll give you till the end of the year to finish your year, and then we'll call you in." Of course, I was figuring, you know, I was going to have a couple of weeks after the year, and I was going to go to the beach and have a big time. But they called me up right the very day that the college was over. But in the meantime, the war was ended in Europe, and it hadn't ended in Japan yet, but they were curtailing their cadet program, so they offered me the opportunity of getting out of the service or staying in the Army Air Force and serving my time there, rather than if I got out, I'd be drafted and go into whatever branch. So anyway, I took them up on that particular offer, and not being really traveled, the train came through my little town that I lived in, which was Ashland, Virginia, and I got on the train and I went to a place called Indiantown Gap, Pennsylvania, which was what they call an induction station. And they gave you all your shots, and, you know, we were brand new, and the guys that had been there 5 days, they were old timers, and they would holler at you, "Watch out for the square needle." You know, just to upset you. Watch out for the one with the propeller on it. Anyway, the funny thing was they gave you, took your clothes, and they had a big warehouse, and you went down the line, and you picked up your socks, and you picked up your shirt, and you picked up, and you were giving up your civilian clothes as you went, and then you put on these clothes at the Army gave you, and you went down this long line. You got to the shirts and the pants and the underwear and all that stuff, and then you got to the end of the line, and there's a great big mirror at the end of the line that said you are looking at the best dressed soldier in the world. You can imagine what we looked like, because nothing fit, of course. It was funny that they would say that you'd look at yourself and you really look like terrible. Margaret's car drove fast past the marble arch on the way to her aunt's garden party. I like smiling wide from deep inside. Soiled oysters feel exploited when anointed with a choice of oil. The clown crashed down and frowned as he heard a loud sound. Maria was sincere in her weird career, but feared the fierce bearded cashier. Careless hair doubtingly stared at the pair of bears from under the chair. Muriel assured the poor tourist that the insurance was sure to cover Europe.